Joining me right now is a guy that before I ever was on The Fan, I used to listen to, a guy that I admire, a guy that I see at Yankee Stadium all the time. I say what's up to. We're very similar in that regard. We're both stadium goers and diehard Yankee fans. JJ After Dark, John Jastrzemski back on The Fan. What's up, John?
I appreciate the kind intro, Mr. McPherson. What's up, dude? A lot happening. Quiet night in the big city, huh?
Yeah, I guess for now, quiet storm as people have nerves and thoughts and aren't going to be able to sleep tonight knowing once the sun comes up, it's time to get to the stadium. How are you feeling? What are your thoughts right now about what's going on tomorrow? And we'll talk a little Mets. We've got some Mets fans on hold. We'll try and take some calls. But specifically, how are you feeling as a Yankee fan going in to game one of the ALDS?
I'm feeling that it's time for the Yankees to get themselves to World Series, Keith. That's how I'm feeling right about now. And this is what I'm going to tell you. I've been standing on my pod and on television for the better part of the last month. If the Yankees can't go to the World Series this year, and when in God's name is it going to happen for this group? They have been knocking at the door. They have fallen short. Last year was a disaster of epic proportion. They go and make the trade for Juan Soto. And when you have stars like Judge and Soto and Cole, you don't know how many chances or cracks you're going to get at this thing. They got to go through the American League Central. Keith, if they can't go to the World Series this year with the way it is drawn up for them, bro, it's never, and I repeat, never happening for this group.
No, you're right. It's funny enough, the last time I saw you at the stadium and I saw your sister and your family, it was an AL Central opponent. We were facing the Guardians. It was the first game of that series. I remember leaving when DJ didn't step on the bag, and we all kind of just were sitting there like, are these guys serious? Are these guys for real? What frustrates you about the Yankees is they do have all the talent, but they'll do things like play a DJ LeMahieu who was dealing with a hip injury. We knew he was cooked. They'll pitch a Clay Holmes when we know he's going to blow the save. They'll tell you Alex Verdugo has to play, and they'll keep running him out there, and then they won't bring up a Dominguez. Like, how do you feel about the Yankees' chances, not against the American League, but against themselves, running into outs, not playing small ball, swinging for the fences, not having the right guys come out of the bullpen? Like, don't you have a little bit of fear that they can beat themselves?
100%. Listen, there's a reason why they haven't been in the World Series, Keith, since I was, a senior in college, 2009. And this year specifically, I think what you're trying to figure out is what Yankee team is showing up. Are you going to get the Yankee team you saw for the first 8 weeks of the year that looked as good as any team in all of baseball? Are you going to get the Yankee team that was, quite frankly, as bad as any team in baseball, not named the Chicago White Sox, from the middle of June until the end of July? Look, I think this series and I think this postseason, more than anything else, comes down to whether or not the Yankees are going to swing the bats. They have two guys that should be able to go and dominate a postseason. We have seen Juan Soto do it in a Nationals uniform when he couldn't even legally have a beer. He carried Washington and hit Verlander and Cole and Clayton Kershaw and all these, brand-name Hall of Fame pitchers in getting the Nationals to a title. I think his presence in the lineup should make a world of difference. But in many ways, Keith, yes, we could talk about the bottom of the Yankee order and what they're going to do at first base. And yes, we can talk about the lackadaisical mishaps that we've seen way too often this year, from Gleyber Torres to Alex Verdugo to DJ LeMahieu. I can go on and on. But this team, to me, is about their stars. And I mentioned Soto. Mr. Judge has been waiting for an opportunity to get back on the grand stage. 2 years ago, he wasn't there. Let's be honest, the whole home run chase, the body, the mind, there might have been a lot of fatigue there. And the Astros are the Yankees' daddy, and they went into that series, and he played and hit terribly. Aaron Judge has got to go and give you a postseason run. I'm not saying he's got to go and be A-Rod in 2009. That's probably unfair, Keith. But you've been waiting to see the captain when all of these other Yankee greats rise to the occasion in the postseason. We saw it for years with Derek Jeter. I didn't live through Mickey Mantle and Joe DiMaggio and Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig, but all those guys were able to do it in money time. Isn't it time for number 99 to go and put the Superman cape on and say, hey, I'm the best player in the world, and show out and ball out?
If there ever was a time. I mean, coming up right now against Bobby Witt Jr., who folks tried to tell me had a good enough case to be the MVP over Judge. He's got to be the MVP. I think they take the bat out of his hands, but if there ever was a time for him to silence his critics, he's done it this whole season, right? He slumped in the first month. We were all worried about him. I know myself. I got on here. I'm like, he's got to be hurt. I'm like, where is the guy that hits bombs, all rise, right? When that all rise goes off in the stadium, that's to get your attention. Pay attention. Aaron Judge about to hit a home run. Where is that guy? He shut us all up after his first career ejection. He went crazy. And then even with, you know, the Paw Patrol slump, he broke out of that, hit that grand slam against the Boston Red Sox. He silenced his critics. Like, he took that home run trot and did the little pipe down, quiet down a couple times this year, basically to say, like, I'm here. And now he's got to show up and do it in October, but I fear that they take the bat out of his hands. I fear we see the intentional walk come back, and then it falls on Stanton or Austin Wells or Jazz Chisholm or other guys lower in the lineup to get it done. And if they don't get it done, we don't have a chance.
100%. And listen, I think you saw towards the end of the year positive signs that those other guys are up to the challenge. Austin Wells, and I know he faded the last week, but the team really took off again, Keith, at the end of July when they put him in that cleanup spot. And it was weird at the time because when they were putting out those lineups, you're like, damn, Austin Wells is cleaning up. And then he had a big weekend at Fenway Park. He had a bunch of high-quality at-bats. And I'm like, you know what? I see what they're doing here. Austin Wells hits with runners in scoring position. Austin Wells doesn't look fazed by playing in big games. They got to hope that this week off kind of rejuvenates his bat. And I know Stanton has been a very polarizing Yankee at times. I think fans get very frustrated by the idea that he doesn't play the field and that his body breaks down and he runs very hot and cold. When he's hot, he's unbelievable. When he's cold, he looks abominable. But I've seen Stanton go and have some big postseason moments for the Yankees. We all remember 2020. He carried the team to the playoffs in 2021. And even the last time the Yankees were there, Keith, 2 years ago, Stanton was one of those guys you wanted up in big spots. I weirdly have confidence in those guys. And I like Chisholm. And the one thing I'm going to tell the Yankees, if anybody in the Yankee brass is listening right now, please let Jazz Chisholm run the bases. You have enough station-to-station guys on this team. Sometimes in postseason play, you hit on it earlier, you got to have a guy who's going to manufacture a run or two. These rules are set up to go and steal bases. You're going to see the Kansas City Royals do it. You get Chisholm and Volpe on base. Keith, I need those guys running. I need them being aggressive.
Yeah. The game has gotten younger. The Royals are going to run. The Tigers, young team, they're going to run. Like, you have to apply that pressure. You have to put that pressure on the pitcher and catcher. Like you said, the game with the pitch clock, the bigger bases, it's just where we are now, and you can't not have that in your arsenal. We're on the phone right now with your guy, JJ After Dark, John Jastrzemski on the Fan. I mean, I want to take some calls with you, but before we do that, we got to sprinkle in some Mets conversation. How do you feel with all of this talk, right? And I know you're a true blue, bleed pinstripes, diehard Yankee fan like I am, but I know you're also a baseball fan and a sports guy. How do you feel with this conversation right now that, oh, Yankee fans can't be happy for Mets fans. They can't be enjoying this Mets run. They should be sick about it.
I think every fan's going to look at it differently, Keith. You know, it's interesting for me because I live in Metland, not only with the platform that I have over at the Ringer, but being at SNY every day. So you really get yourself immersed into all the storylines surrounding the Mets, being a part of the fabric of the city, the team, and, you know, having that be a part of your life day in and day out. I mean, I'm coming on, for goodness sakes, basically after every single Met game. And look, I think there are going to be some Yankee fans who don't like the Mets, and there are plenty of Mets fans who don't like the Yankees. Like, I think that's healthy, and I think you're entitled to that if you like it. But I also think if you're a Yankee fan and you're like, hey, it's good for New York City. We love that the other team in town is on this magic carpet ride, and it's exactly what it is right now. It's a Hollywood script yesterday with Alonso hitting that home run in the ninth inning, which I, for one, never saw coming. The Mets winning didn't surprise me. The Mets rallying didn't surprise me. Alonso, who hasn't had a big hit all year, Keith, that, my friend, absolutely surprised me. But, you know, I tell everybody, hey, treat it for what it is. Like, if you're bothered by it, be open about it. If you're happy about it, be open about it. I think it can actually go both ways. And I think the dynamic between the two fan bases, what's cool about it, We haven't had the Yankees and the Mets in the division series since 2006 at the same time. It's been a long, long time coming. I am not even remotely putting the idea in the air for everybody to start digesting the possibility of the first Subway Series since 2000, but I'll say this, Steve.
Good.
If the Mets beat the Phillies, and it's going to be a tall order, they're basically plus 170 on FanDuel or wherever you place your bets. They're a sizable favorite, or a dog, I should say, with Senga on the mound in game one. Mets go and beat the Phillies, and the Yankees beat Kansas City, then you could start dreaming about the possibility of a Subway Series. And holy smokes, I don't think my intestinal fortitude and my stomach and your stomach and the stomachs of all the New Yorkers out there listening could handle that, dude. Because let's be real about this, Keith. If indeed there is a Subway Series, the Yankees have nothing to gain and everything to lose. That's it. The Mets
I don't need it.
The World Series.
I'm not pushing for it. I haven't entertained you, dude. I don't care. It'll be fun.
It'll be great for ratings. It'll be great for business.
I guess.
But it will not be great for your blood pressure. I'm just warning you now.
Major League Baseball doesn't want that. They want Dodgers, Yankees. They don't want both teams.
I agree. Let's be honest about this.
Wouldn't be that great for their business.
If they get the Yankees in any of the four combinations, you're right. Dodgers, Yankees, Ohtani, Judge. They've been drooling about the Dodgers and the Yankees since 2017. You're 1,000% spot on. But if I tell you get Phillies, Yankees, that's a sensational series. If I tell you you get Padres, Yankees with Tatis,
Soto
storyline, that's a tremendous series. And then, of course, the Subway Series speaks for itself.
JJ, you're the man. Let's take some calls from these Mets fans that are listening. I'll chime in with my side of it. I guess I'm similar to you, right? You're at SNY. I'm here at WFAN. These are all Mets fans here. Like, I was at the watch party on Monday. Like, I saw the joy and elation, like, groan, like Evan Roberts jumping out of his seat, humping Tommy Lugauer, knocking Paul's hat, or
I didn't know about that. I'm going to have to give Lugauer crap for that the next time I see him. You allowed Evan to hump him?
On his back and started gyrating on him, running around, and, like, even with the sales team, I'm like, I watched the range of emotions. I watched them talking about, see, this is what the Mets do. They're already planning game two and how they're going to attack it to the joy and this, you know, the whole roller coaster ride. And I had no dog in the fight. I just came to be supportive. And I'm like, good, I'm happy you guys are moving on. And then watching this series, I was the first voice on WFAN last night. I'm putting my notes together. I'm thinking we're writing a eulogy. I'm thinking that's it for the Grimace Mets, for the OMG. And you know, basically thinking that this is it, and I got to be the first one to kind of talk people off the ledge and say it's all right, like this is a good step in the right direction. They come back from the dead again. So I can't hate on that as a sports fan. I can't hate on that being in New York. It's good for the city. We've had so many bum-ass teams. We've had so many teams not represent us correctly. I don't know how many times I've been on here screaming, like, when are we going to get a team that represents the city and the spirit of the people in New York correctly? We might have two in the running right now.
You're right, and we had the Knicks earlier this spring,
and which was
not too shabby. So you
New
know,
Liberty.
The tide turning a little bit. The way you got them playing in the playoffs at the moment, and you know the Rangers. Now I know it didn't go the way the Rangers fan wanted, but they're in the conference final. We'll see about that football team stuff. That's where Mr. Rogers and company got to figure out what their coach is doing because they got a problem there. But
I don't understand why it's a 2.5 spread against the Vikings in London, maybe just because it's a neutral site in London, it's a little different. But, like, coming off of what we saw last week and what we've seen out of this Vikings defense and Sam Darnold, they're talking about Brian Flores' defense, how amazing it is, Sam Darnold as an MVP. What are you thinking is going on with Vegas in that line that they're expecting this to be a low-scoring, close game?
So when they had the look-ahead line, Keith, and they do this now with a lot of these games because the books are crazy, and you know they'll have it a week in advance. Some of these lines they have out before the start of the year, for goodness sakes. The London games, the Thanksgiving games, the Christmas games, etc. They probably had the Jets as a look-ahead, anywhere from a 2.5 to a 3.5 point favorite. Because remember, a lot of hype for the Jets coming into the year, mm-hmm. Not a whole lot of hype coming in for the Minnesota Vikings. So they adjusted the line, but I don't think the odds makers want to go that above and beyond 4 weeks into the year. And I would argue everything you said about the Viking coaching staff is completely spot on. Kevin O'Connell is a tremendous head coach. Brian Flores, say what you want about the way he handled Tua, which was terrible. But when it comes to coaching defense, that guy is a defensive wizard. He is a savant. He knows how to coach up a D, and he's done a fantastic job. They have such a coaching mismatch in the game. It has me scared to go and bet the Jets.
Right.
But I think the spot, though, the one thing I would say, you're getting Minnesota on, like, their higher highs. You know what I mean? Like, I almost think you do
for a little bit. They're due to come down to earth.
Bingo.
The Packers did put some stuff on tape that the Jets can expose. They did give up some points, and they did get comfortable in the last game. All right, JJ, we got to get to a couple calls before I let you go.
Sure.
Tom in West Babylon, New York. Hold on 1 second. Tom, you're alive. Go
Keith,
for it.
Keith, how you doing, buddy?
Good. Thank you.
Good to hear your voice. What's up, homie?
Oh, JJ, you're there, too. Is JJ there, too?
Yes, sir.
I am here. Yes, sir.
Listen, I got two Yankee fans, right? I need a little advice. Seriously, it's been... Listen, I'm a diehard Met fan. I don't watch you guys. I don't care what you guys do. When you lose, I'm happy. But why are you guys hating on the Mets? Honestly, I can never understand why the Yankees, constantly my nephew, my friends, and I'm like looking at them like, we got nothing. You guys got how many championships?
I'm
so then
hating.
With that,
John, you know what? Michael Kay is leading the charge. I don't know why the Kayster is on that. And there are some Yankee fans. I guess they're insecure. I guess they're a little bit worried. I guess they're
a little bit nervous. Could it be possible? Just hear this out. Could it be possible? Are they a little jealous because, let's face it, Mets always do something to get it going, and it's like it's just something special.
I don't know if there's any jealousy. We've been in the division round so many times. I don't know.
But if you don't get a championship, the season is lost. You can never, ever enjoy a game.
I can enjoy it.
I want to hear what you got to say, Keith. No, seriously, I need some advice.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Tom. I don't think it's that. There's no jealousy. We don't want your team. We don't want what you have. I don't even like the look of the Mets uniforms and jerseys and colors. Don't turn me back into the old me. I'm trying to be good. I'm trying to be nice. But there are some Yankee fans that look at the Mets fans right now, and there are some annoying ass Mets fans that are taking it too far. Where it's like, hey, like let's rein it in. You were a fringe team. You got the last wild card spot. You had to fight game 161 to get it. You were this close to being eliminated in a wild card. Like, let's slow it down. And we understand what happened the last few years with King Cohen. And, oh, he's the new George Steinbrenner. And this whole dynamic about Mets fans, being obsessed with Juan Soto. So there's always that back and forth. But I just think that, like, I can't speak for the Yankee fan that's hating on the Mets. This is great for their franchise. It's great for the Met fan. I have no problem with it. It does nothing to me because, like I said, you can't, people hate up. You can't hate down. We're the number one seed clinched. We won our division. We're sitting here on ice chilling. Like, we can't be hating on the Mets. I don't know why people are doing that.
Keith, I think it's just the nature of being in New York City and living around, whether it's Connecticut, Long Island, New Jersey, and you live in a household where you have a Yankee fan and a Met fan. And you're going to talk smack. And I think that's the dynamic more than anything else. You got two teams in one city, and it's bragging rights, and it's talking smack, and it's going back and forth. It's just, hey, if you want kumbaya across the board, you go to a city where they got one team. Then you'll get kumbaya across the board, right? Like, you go to Kansas City. Everybody's a Royal fan. Everybody's a Chief fan. And you may have the transplants that maybe root for different teams. NFL might be a little different, although right now if you're in Kansas City and you're not rooting for the Chiefs, there's probably something wrong with you and you're sick to your stomach. But, Keith, that's New York, man. And it's only going to get more chippy. I'm telling you right now, if both teams advance, God forbid what this winter is going to look like when you know the top two suitors for Daddy Juan Soto are going to be the Yankees and the Mets. So, Keith, if you think it's bad now trying to calm down tensions, ask me in a couple of months how it's going.
I don't even care about December and the off season and the winter meetings. One more call before we let you go. Chris is in Thornwood. Go for it, Chris.
Hey, Keith. JJ, what's going on?
Hanging.
What's up, dude? What's happening?
JJ, you're hitting the nail on the head, man. Judge has got to show up this postseason, and I was thinking the same type of thing without Jeter. Like, we need that type of level of play, that type of level of clutches if we're going to go anywhere. I mean, we got some spots that we really got to pick up the slack. We don't even have a first baseman right now, so Judge better show up. Left field is a question mark. Is it going to be Verdugo? Is it going to be Dominguez? We don't even know these things. So I'm a Yankee fan. I'm a little stressed out going into this series, to be honest, guys.
You should be.
Kansas City's dangerous. They're dangerous. Now, the Yankees, as I said earlier, Keith, there's no excuse for them not to get to the World Series. I don't think this series against the Royals is going to be as easy as some people think. They got three outstanding starting pitchers. They got one of the best players in the sport. They got a couple of battle-tested veterans, Perez, Sam, Gurriel. They got Vinny P back in the lineup. I don't think they're a pushover, but there's no excuse for the Yankees. Get it done. And one thing about left field, Keith, we didn't talk about this. I do not want to see Verdugo. I'm sorry. Spare me on the defense. First of all, Verdugo's defense is not any good. He booted a ball in Baltimore, which could have cost him the
AL East.
Aaron
Boone and Brian Cashman have numbers to say different.
Well, you know what? I'd like to see those numbers. I am not an analytics guru. Maybe they could give me a tutorial at some point in time. Verdugo's got about as many extra base hits, Keith, as you and I have over the last 4 months. You start them, if they're not going to play Dominguez because they're that worried about his defense, I'd rather see Grisham than Verdugo, Keith.
Facts.
I'm not kidding. Grisham.
Hey, there he is. JJ, you're the man. I know I took you over the time a little bit. Appreciate you, bro.
No, we're good. We're good. I just got an Outlook Pretty, put a suit on, and touch up makeup and get ready. So,
we'll be in here watching.
See you at the stadium on Monday, all right?
Yes, sir. I'll text you. Thanks for joining us, man.
Anytime, bud.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.